right. So I'm going to go ahead and lead us in a USP. If you need to confess any sins, go ahead and do that. Otherwise, let's go ahead and repeat after me with this USP. Father, I thank you. I'm not aware of any sins. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you forgive me of all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:19. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I just lift up everyone here tonight, Father, and I pray that you would minister to every person tonight by your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your anointing, even as we have prayed already, for your kingdom to be established in each location. We poured out of our spirit rivers of living water, flooding each location with the Spirit of God, with the anointing of God, with the peace of God, with the deliverance of God. And we thank you, Father, that you will minister to us tonight, every person, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. So we've got a couple of worship songs, and then we'll be back then to share some more on faith, like we did last week. So, all right. So let me pause the recording here. And gonna do that first. So anyway, like I was saying, I hope you guys enjoyed that last song about the goodness of God. And I want to use that as a starting off point, a kickoff point for our discussion again tonight on faith. That song reminds me of scripture in Exodus. Moses and God have been having a discussion. This was after the children of Israel had built the golden calf, and God was telling Moses, "That's it, I'm done with these people," and Moses is pleading on their behalf, talking about God's grace and His forgiveness and that kind of thing, and it ends up that the Lord said to Moses, "I'm starting, this is in chapter 33 of Exodus, starting verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory." So as Moses was going through this discussion with God, and God was expressing his grace to Moses, Moses saw something in that he wanted to know more about. So he said, "God, show me your glory. I want to know more about you. I want to understand." See, the glory is the essence of a person. He says, "I want to understand who you are." And then the Lord said to Moses, going on to verse 19, "I will make all my goodness." It's like, wait a second, I thought you wanted to know his glory. Well, yeah, God is expressing what his glory is, who he is, the manifestation of himself. And he says, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and so show, I'm sorry, and show mercy to whom I will show mercy." And that word mercy also can be translated as loving kindness. And I've mentioned this before, in Psalm 89, verse 14. It says there that the foundation of God's throne is righteousness, judgment, and what judgment is a righteous proclamation. a righteous verdict. And then he goes on in that same verse and he says, and out of him flows mercy and truth. And so that's mercy, loving kindness, and truth. Then going on in Exodus, so this is, he said, this is what I'm going to do. God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you my goodness. And then in verse, or in chapter 34, God had put Moses in the cleft of a rock. He said, because you can't see my face or you'll die, but I will put you in the cleft. I will put my hand on you so you can't see my face, but I will let you see my backside as I go by. And then this happened. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy. Again, mercy can be translated loving kindness. Keeping mercy and loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon their children and upon their children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped. I mean, you can just imagine that scene with God coming by and proclaiming his name, his goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness, his grace, his forgiveness towards man. And that brings me back to a verse that we talked about last week. Let me go ahead and bring up the scripture that we were working on. Let's see here. Here it is. Okay, and let's see. I trust that everybody can see that. Is that right? If somebody could let me know if they can see the outline. Okay, thank you. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out how I can enlarge it here, because it's kind of okay. There we go. Oh, that didn't help. Okay, let's try that again. I thought I was enlarging it, but I ended up canceling it. So let's try this one more time. There we go. Okay. So, okay. Oh, that's a nice thing, but it's the wrong one, isn't it? Okay. Forgive me. Let's try this one more time here. Let's see. Where did it go? Wait. Oh, I canceled it. Oh, that's what happened. Okay. Give me a moment to bring it up again. Sorry about that. I got to go somewhere else to grab it. Okay, here we go. Okay, so let me go back over here. Okay, I apologize. Oh, here it is. Okay. There we go. Okay. Again, everybody can see that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Wonderful.
You can zoom in a little bit if you could on your bottom right.
All right. There, is that better? Okay.
Much better, thank you.
You're welcome. The scripture I was thinking about was, or wanted to talk about, under A, number five there, faith is the leaning of the entire personality. Because based on who we just looked at about who God is, as he's declaring to Moses his goodness and his love and his grace, it reminds me of this this scripture here in let's see where to go Hebrews 6:11. Where did it go? Or 6:12, I mean. I'm looking for it in Amplified. Where did it go? Oh, here it is. Okay. This is a definition of faith, again, in the Amplified. It says, behaving as those who through faith, so now here's the description, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. So that's what we're seeing here when we are looking at the scripture from Exodus. We're seeing God's power, his wisdom, and his goodness. And because of that, we should be able to rest by our entire personality on him. Everything we are, everything we have, we put the full weight of our being on him by faith, because we know what God's word says. We know that God is faithful. We know that God loves us, that he is gracious, and he has the power. And so we put the full weight of our being on him by faith. Now, in doing that, it releases then the power of God into our lives. Because remember, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is necessary. So we kind of talked about that a little bit last week in terms of part A there, understanding faith and what faith is. We talked about that the what's important is not the quantity of faith. In other words, not trying to grow your faith into this mammoth mountain of faith that can overcome everything. But Jesus tells us that the faith as of the grain of a mustard seed is enough faith, because it's not quantity, it is quality of faith that makes a difference. So what I want us then to talk about tonight, well, first of all, does anybody have any questions or comments about what we just went over? No. Okay, that's fine. All right, let's look at part B. What faith is and is not. Faith is not hoping and wishing. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So faith is not hope, because it's separate from hope, but yet hope is important in faith, because hope is a confident expectation. So, but it's not the kind of hope that we think about in this day and age. Gee, I hope so. I hope that's the way it works out. It's not. Faith is not hoping and wishing. Faith is a confident expectation that God is going to fulfill his word. Faith is also not waiting for God to move. A verse we talk about a lot here in And ABC, Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you that what thing soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So when we think about faith, when we think about what it is that we desire God to do in terms of his promise, healing's always a good example of that. When we are believing God for healing in our lives, it says there that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, so you're lifting it up to God, it says, then the next part is to believe that you receive. So it's not waiting for God to move. It is an action that we take in believing God. So it's beyond just knowing that he can. It's then doing something about it. So that is our believing. And we're going to talk about what that means to believe, because that believing is our faith. It's taking action and words that show our faith, show that we are believing. And believing is that is the verb form of faith. So when it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believing or believe that you shall receive them, that's our action of faith. Again, it's the same as pistuo is the verb, and pistis is the noun, which is normally translated faith. Pistuo is normally translated believe, because it's the verb. So it is the action. So believing is the action of faith. And when we believe that we have received them, then the result is ye shall have them. Because without faith, it's impossible to believe God, or it's impossible to please God. So by faith, we believe, and we shall receive, and we shall have them. Faith and patience is not hoping and waiting. Going back to Hebrews 6:12, but this time looking at it in the King James, it says, and be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I was talking to a friend today, and we were talking about some of these issues with faith, and they reminded me of a scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, which says that, matter of fact, let me go ahead and read it to you. Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the armor of God, says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, then stand. And so there are times when we just have to stand on the word of God. And that word there, stand, is a aggressive stance, like a football player would have, or a baseball player that's ready to hit the ball. You're taking that step forward and putting your body into it, or you're driving forward like a tailback, and you're ready to go. You're leaning forward. You're leaning into the action. So faith is not just, okay, I've prayed, now I'm just going to wait, sit here and wait for God to do something. No, it doesn't work that way. It's believing that God is going to do it and then stepping out. So that faith is now, I'm looking at B4, faith is now in the present. See, now faith is, we talked about this last week, now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is now, it's in the present, it's believing God now for what he has for us. Faith is not future. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, which is in the past tense. And I know some of you have heard this testimony, but just let me give it again because it's a really good testimony about this. About a young man who had been having some back issues, and he believed God was his healer, and he kept saying, "I know God's going to heal me. I know that God is going to heal me." And he said that for years. "I know that God is going to heal me of this back thing. I know that God is going to heal me." And he was talking to his pastor one day. This is after several years, and it's getting to the point where it was his back was really a challenge. And the doctor was talking about needing to do some surgery. And it's like, "Pastor, what is going on? I know that God is going to heal me." So the pastor was praying about it, and he realized, "Ah, I see what the problem is. You keep saying God is going to heal me. I know that God is going to heal me." He said, "That's the problem. You keep putting it off to the future. You need to believe for your healing now. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's not something in the future. It's now." And he realized, "Oh my gosh, you're exactly right. That is what I've been doing." And so he changed his words to, "God is going to heal me," to, "God has healed me. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus." And I believe he was scheduled for surgery like within a day or two after that. And it was at that point that he received his healing and the pain left and his back was healed. So praise the Lord. But see, faith is not God is going to heal me. Faith is believing God has already healed me, and then you're doing your best to walk in it. I like what one minister I know that he's let's see, he's 70, 76 now, I believe, or 74, something like that. Anyway, when he turned 18, he had a dramatic experience with God, and through that experience with God, he learned how to take God at his word, and he had been standing since he was 18 years old for healing in his body. No matter what came along, he learned how to believe God. And one of his ways of believing God was every time a situation came up, pain in his body, there were a couple of times where he did something and pulled his back, and he was in tremendous pain. And what the Lord showed him was that if he wanted to fight that, he needed to believe God and act in faith. So now here, I don't know, 50 some odd years later, almost 60 years later, he is continuing to believe God for his healing. And what he does is every time he has a challenge, if he's walking up the stairs in his house and there is a pain in his knee, he says, "Oh, no, you don't." And he says, "I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus." And he will go up and down those stairs as many times as it takes for that pain to go. One day he was out running on his property. He lives in the mountainous area, and his house is in a real rural area, and he went out running, and it was like, I guess in the winter, so there was some snow and stuff on the ground. So anyway, he's running, and he was several miles from home, and he was running on a ridge, and he slipped and went down the ridge, and one of his feet got caught in a root as he was sliding down this incline, and his ankle got twisted. And he said, "This is not good." He said, "But you know what? I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus." And he said, I'm just telling you what he said. He said he could see the bone sticking out the side of his ankle. And he was like, and like I said, 6 miles from home. Nobody was around. And he said, "I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus." He jumped up and he ran all the way home. And when he got home, he looked at his ankle and he could see no evidence of any break. There was no pain. What he was doing, and he has continued to do that to this day, whenever there's pain, whenever there's an issue, he presses through with it. So, and he proclaims, "I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus." And I've tried to follow him in that. When oftentimes when I have pain or challenges or weakness or whatever, I say, "No, in the name of Jesus," and I will press forward and do and press into it, I guess, is what you might want to say, by faith, expecting health and healing to come to me. So faith is not in the future. We have been healed now by the stripes of Jesus. Faith is also not mental assent. In other words, it's not just, "Well, I know the Bible says I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I agree with that." It's got to go beyond that, because faith then is taking faith action. You've heard us talk about a faith action plan. So it's like, okay, here's this trial. Here's this temptation in my life. Again, I'm using healing, but it could be whatever we're standing for in life on God's word. And say, "You know what? I believe that God has healed me. And then I'm going to act on it." So we do a faith action plan. What do I need to do? It might involve actions like pushing against the pain. Just another quick example of that guy. Like I said, he's in his 70s, and he's had every once in a while he has a situation where he's taken the top off of a jar, and he feels pain in his hand like arthritis. And he says, "Oh, no, you don't." And then he will just keep taking that lid on and off and on and off and on and off as many times as it takes until that pain goes. He says, "Nope, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm not putting up with this." Anyway, so enough about that. So it's not mental assent. It's faith action. It's a faith action plan. Faith comes from the heart. In Mark 11:23, which, did you know that it comes right before 11:24? Well, how about that? Well, it says in Mark 11:23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith." Notice that, shall believe those things which, or doesn't doubt in his heart. That's what I was trying to point out. And shall not doubt in his heart. So, in other words, we believe it in our heart. So it comes from a belief and an understanding in our heart. Romans 10, 9, and 10, we think of this as it applies to salvation, but it is true by whatever about whatever we're believing in. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation." So let's just kind of take that scripture and let's apply it now to healing. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is your healer, and shall believe in your heart that Jesus bore in his body sickness, pain, and diseases, thou shalt be healed. For with the heart man believes unto healing, and with the mouth confession is made unto healing. Again, or you could say salvation, but it's deliverance from what is afflicting. So the same thing here applies. Faith comes from the heart, believing in the heart. And the way that we believe in our heart is by taking action. We take action on God's word. And when we see the result, it puts it in our heart. We say, hey, look at that. I prayed. I believed God. I took that step of faith. And God healed me. Wow, I'm going to hang on to that. So now faith begins to be born in our hearts. So we are believing God's word by faith and acting on it. And then the last one there, faith is active and not passive, from Mark 10, 46 to 52. And this is the story of blind Bartimaeus. Or just go ahead and read it. They came to Jericho, and as, talking about Jesus and his disciples, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the highway side begging. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood. So notice here that when the people were trying to quiet him down, you know, be quiet, Bartimaeus, be quiet. And he said, no, he cried out even more, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of comfort, rise, he calls thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will you that I would do for you? And the blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. So what was it that showed that he was believing God? So go ahead and throw out some answers there. What was it? There are two things in this verse that talk about and show his faith. So somebody tell me what it is with blind Bartimaeus.
He got rid of his robe, his baker's robe.
He got rid of his baker's robe, or baker's, his
baker.
Baker. Yes. His beggar's robe. In other words, he knew he wasn't going to need it anymore. What else?
He kept calling louder.
He kept crying out louder. In other words, he wasn't going to let those people dictate to him what he wanted.
He knew that he knew.
And so he cried out all the more and louder, Jesus, have mercy on me. And that was showing his faith, his crying out, and also his throwing off that robe was him saying, Jesus, I know what you can do. And I know it so well that I'm not going to need this anymore. And he left it behind, his robe, that is. And so Jesus said, thy faith, because you exemplified what was in your heart, that you believed me and you acted on it. So praise the Lord. Okay. Any comments on this section B that we've been going through? Questions, comments, testimonies?
Really encouraging. Thank you. It's something that's clear, but it's nice to be reminded and to be refocused.
Yes.
You know, you shared a testimony that I don't think I'd heard before about the man, the who fell down the side of the mountain or whatever and got up and ran those 6 miles.
I
I don't
know.
think I'd heard that before. That was
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, that really is awesome. And by the way, that man is it's Andrew Womack.
You know, I said Andrew Womack, but I didn't realize that particular testimony of his. Okay, I was right.
One thing I like about him, just one quick story about him. Recently, I guess within the last couple of years, he and one of his associates made an overseas trip, and they were together for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks or something like that. And this associate of his, another minister, he also is really strong in healing, you know, especially for himself. And they got back, and the guy said to Andrew, he said, "You know what?" He said, "Now I understand why you walk in healing the way that you do." He says, "Because you hate sickness more than I do." Anyway, so I think in the same way that, you know, we would all want to say that we hate sin, we should also say we hate sickness. And basically what you're saying with that is whatever Jesus died for me, that's what I want. And anything that is antithetical to that, I don't want in my life. So sin would be fall under that. Poverty would fall under that. Lack, you know, sickness, disease, infirmity in our bodies, that would fall under that. Mental distress would fall under that. Sorrows and griefs would fall under that. Everything that Jesus died for us and promised us, that's what we should love. And anything antithetical to that, that goes against that, we should hate it. Even as it says in was it Proverbs 8:13 that we should hate evil. So we should hate anything that is contrary to God's word and his promises. So I don't know. That to me is powerful. So,
I agree.
thank you, Jesus. Well, let's go ahead and I guess we'll go ahead and stop this tonight. I hope, I don't know, with everything going on with the Mays, I may very well be back next week and give them another break, and then we'll go on to part C of this outline. So anyway, thank you, Jesus. So let me go ahead and stop the share here. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So we'll go ahead. Well, if anybody else have any more comments or thoughts or anything about this.
It's very encouraging. Thank you, Pastor Matthew.
Well, you're very welcome, Denise. So, all right, are we ready to go ahead and move into communion? So I think Nick, you are up for tonight for doing the body, and I believe Susan said she would do the blood. So let's go ahead. Let's do a USP, and then Nick, you can take it away. So, Father, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, everybody. Father God, your word says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Lord, again, we thank you for your sacrifice and all that your body went through, Father God, so that we may have the opportunity to live, Father God, and that
Yes, thank you,
we'll be able to
Jesus.
live forever. We thank you, Lord. We honor you and we praise you. And every time that we take part of your body, we remember the sacrifice that you went through, Lord, for our sake. So we honor and we praise you and we celebrate you, Father God, by partaking of your body.
Yes,
Take part of the body, God.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word that says, after the same manner also, after he had supped, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Father, for this cup of blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking the cup that was set before you and drinking it so that we could drink this cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life for us so that we can have life in you, eternal life in you right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for
Thank you,
making us
Jesus.
new creations in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood for us and washing away all of our sin with your precious holy blood. Thank you for your blood that covers us and protects us, cleanses us and delivers us,
Yes.
sets us free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done for us. We love you so much and we're so grateful to you for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's take now.
So we believe and we receive
Yes.
your blood and the life that's in your blood as we partake. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes. We agree and believe, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and do 20 affirmations that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I pray everyone has been ministered to tonight and encouraged by this teaching. And I guess what we should do now is see if anybody or who would be interested in doing communion next week. Do I have any volunteers next Wednesday? Okay, Sharon, are you you're volunteering?
I am. Thank you.
All right. So if you could plan on doing the body then.
Okay.
All right. And anybody volunteering for the blood? When? How about you?
What about me?
Doing the blood next week.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Wake up.
Well, I was just dozing off a little.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged. I love teaching the word, and I love teaching about faith. So,
That was very good. Thank
amen.
you.
You're very
Very
welcome, sir.
encouraging.
Thank you, Pastor Matthew.
You're very welcome. All right, Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have certainly blessed us tonight. We thank you, Father, that you are showing us your goodness, your glory, your mercy, loving kindness, and your graciousness to us. And we thank you, Father, that because of who you are, we can trust you. We can put the full weight of our being on you. I just pray, Father, that you would help us step by step, bit by bit, to trust you more and more, and to believe you, and to stand on your word, and see our faith purified so that fear, doubt, and unbelief is eradicated from our minds and our hearts in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody. So you want to go ahead and unmute yourself and say goodbye, and we will, I'm sure, see you next week.
Yes.